Good evening, brothers and sisters. We are almost halfway through this week, and man, I tell you, I don't know if you guys have been watching all the news on this coronavirus, or COVID-19, I think they're calling it now. And you know, I felt led. I'm working on going through the Lord's Prayer, Disciples' Prayer, but I want to switch gears and preach on this fear that seems to be gripping our nation, our world, our churches. This is not how God's people are supposed to respond to things like what's going on. And, you know, if you just look at the world and the craziness, and even God's people, or supposedly God's people, or professing Christians out there, we wonder why this world's in the shape it is in. Our lights are supposed to shine brighter than the darkness. When the darkness shadows over our light and puts it out, there we have issues. The scripture I want to look at today is going to be in Mark 4, 36, 1 through 41. Before we begin this scripture reading, I want to take you guys through some prayer to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, thanking you for today and your many blessings, Lord, providing another day for us to breathe and live the word of God to whoever needs to hear it or see it out there through our life shining so bright, or should be shining so bright, that people want what we have. They want what we have, Lord, as the beginnings of the church in Acts. The church today don't even resemble no near of the church in Acts. You said they turned the world upside down. The world is turning us upside down, and we're supposed to be doing the opposite, Lord. When we look at this chaos, it's an example that the church is not doing what you have designed them to do. We have failed you. We are not the church of the Bible. I pray, Lord, that you just bring us, do whatever you have to do to bring us back to that church that's in the Bible, Lord. That fire that was burning in the apostles, that the fire that was burning so bright that this world seen, it grew real true believers, not this professing Christianity that's running around here that has compromised everything it means to be a Christian, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with me as we go through this sermon. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with whoever hears this sermon out there, Lord, that it touches their hearts. It inspires them to go out there and to be different. I pray you that it just enters their heart and they hold that into their heart, Lord. I don't know who hears this. I don't know how it influences whoever hears it. All I do is lay it out there in the message that you placed in my heart to preach today. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's reading will be in Mark 4, 36 through 41. That's Mark 4, 36, 41. And when they have sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. And there rose a great storm, a wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, that would be the back, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, care thou not, we perished. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, Why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? And they fear exceedingly, said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, today I just want you to think and try to place yourself in that boat. You know, the disciples were in this little boat, this little ship, and it's this ship's probably, our boat was probably about as long as a delivery truck, probably UPS, and about as wide as your typical bass boat. It was not a very large vessel, guys. And a great storm with powerful winds, and waves were beating at the side, and the water was filling this boat up. I don't know if you guys ever been fishing, you know, I haven't been fishing in a boat in a long time. I stay really busy with work and the ministry, but as a kid, I used to love going out in a boat and just fishing, and even I love canoeing, and I've experienced some storms, you know. And when you're in that boat and you say you're having a good day and you're catching fish left and right, and then you start looking up and you see a cloud coming your way, and you're like, well, I got some time, you know, and you're just reeling those fish in, and before you know it, the wind's starting to pick up and the boat's trying to rock back and forth, and you're like, well, I think I got a little more time, and then next thing you know, the wind's starting to come in, and then rain starts coming, and you just realize you're trying to pedal out the weather, and it's already starting to storm, and it might have the thunder and the lightning across the sky crackling. You see, the disciples, they understood the severity of storms. Some were fishermen. They understood the physical storms and what this type of storms are capable of, and what they are afraid, and they were afraid. And when they were afraid, they were looking around, looking for Jesus, and he was sleeping, and they were confused, and they felt abandoned. They were feeling fearful. They were fearing hopelessness. Within the physical storm, they were experiencing a spiritual storm. To put it in a more modern day term, most of us drive vehicles. And I'm pretty sure most of us experience a storm driving, you know, where we were going, maybe on vacation, maybe to work. We've encountered storms. Even in a vehicle, you're driving, you come across a storm. That wind can be very intimidating. It hits the car and it shakes the car. It pulls one, and then thunder's rolling and lightning's flashing. The rain is pouring and you can barely see the road. I know when we experience this, we're there maybe by ourselves, maybe with our family. But it's easy to feel these same feelings that the disciples felt within that boat. You can feel like you're the only one there, abandoned. You can feel fearful. What if my tire blows out? What if I slide? What if I hit another car? You can feel hopelessness. Will we ever make it to our destination? But I'm here to tell you, as children of God, we are not alone when we are going through these types of storms in life. So you got this storm, you can see. Say you're in a car and you're driving, you see the wind and the rain. But there's also a storm inside of you brewing. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. It could be distress. But I want to tell you, whatever you are going through today, keep this in mind. Jesus will not abandon his children. Jesus will not create a spirit of fear in his children. And Jesus will not leave his children hopeless. Abandonment. We need to realize Jesus will not abandon us. Now, when we look at the account in Mark, he tells us this storm was great. It was a great storm. It had great wind and waves. And they were very aggressive. And that ship was starting to fill with water. And disciples were freaking out. They felt abandoned. But they weren't. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. In the last part here, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He, Jesus, said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, growing up in church, I do not remember a lot of sermons that speak of Jesus being right with his children. From you facing many challenges up to my adulthood, I have always felt alone. So, what was the point of church? What was the point of serving a Jesus that's just going to abandon me? When I'm going through these crises in life, and I'm feeling alone, and that depression's kicking in, and anxiety's kicking in, and I don't know where else to reach. So I can't get no answers from the church. Or that's how Satan blocks you, right? So I reach out to the world. Now trust me, the world will give you answers. They're false because this is Satan's world. And Satan will say, hey, pick up this drink. It'll soothe your soul. Pick up the cigarette. The nicotine will soothe your soul when you're stressed. Have sex with somebody you don't know. The feeling's okay. It will soothe your soul. These are lies. These are lies from the enemy. He pulls you away because we allow him. I allowed him to pull me away from church and Jesus. And my heart goes out even to preaching this sermon is that I fear we have many of our youth in our church, in our churches, that the church is not doing a good job in discipling them, showing them that the church is irrelevant. Jesus is still relevant to all the problems that you're encountering. But I will tell you, brothers and sisters, just from my life, if we don't mentor our children in our church, if we don't disciple them and through Bible studies and at home, Satan will snatch them. That he will snatch them in a heartbeat. It breaks my heart. You see, that is a lie from the enemy. He wants you to feel abandoned. When life is just, you're trying to reach for answers in life, and you keep hitting that wall over and over again. Now, I speak from experience. But as God's children, we should know that Jesus is right there with me, with you, with us. When we are facing situations or challenges in our life that rocks us to our very core, thoughts of abandonment should be recognized. The enemy's attack to destroy you and me and us. By recognizing this, we give it to Jesus through prayer, a direct communication to Jesus that he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me every day and us. Because of this, we should know that Jesus cares and Jesus loves us so much that He will give us strength to endure this storm, our storms in our lives. Amen. We need to recognize Jesus will not give us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. This is just another lie, another tactic by the enemy to affect God's children. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 tells us, "For God have not given us the spirit of fear." Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And we need to recognize that God does not give us this spirit of fear, because the spirit of fear destroys our peace. It misdirects our eyes away from Jesus as disciples were in the boat, or as we are in our cars and we're driving and our eyes are not focused on Jesus and we're looking at the physical storm around us and it's affecting us in our heart and our mind, and we're trying to get our own control over it. Satan knows this fear. It removes our eyes from Jesus. Instead of having power and love and sound mind, we have no power. We show no love. And our mind is in a state of chaos. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, not my opinion, guys, but the Word of God says, we have power, love, and a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath what? Torment. He that fear is not made in perfect, is not made perfect in love. Satan creates the spirit of fear. Why God creates the spirit of power and love and sound mind. And if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is living inside you. You have power. You have love. You have sound mind. We let Satan take that from us. The coronavirus is just one example of this. You see, this virus receives a lot, it seems, a lot of headlines. And if you look all over the place, chaos. Places are closing down. NBA games are shutting. Concerts are shutting. Restaurants are shutting down. Theaters are shutting down. Even churches are shutting down. I want to pose you. Do you think, if you go back to Acts, do you think Peter and Paul would have shut down a church? And if your answer is, oh no, they wouldn't, then what is wrong with you? If you are a leader of a church, what is wrong with you closing the doors down? Our life is supposed to resemble the church of the Bible. And when the government tells us we need to close our churches down, they have no authority over God's people. That's the problem with the government today. They think they're in control of everything. And eventually they will try. Or if you look at the end times, which we are living in the end times, they will have control over us. And they will control God, try to control God's people, but the true people of God will not be controlled. Will not be controlled. Looking at the landscape of the churches closing, and there probably won't be as many as we would like to believe that truly stands up for the Word of God. I hope I'm wrong, but when I look across this, toilet paper on the shelves, people just grabbing them up, shortage, TP, really? We need to understand this virus is serious, like with any virus. So use common sense. Wash your hands. Take care of yourself. That's important. That's why God gives us common sense, right? If you're not feeling good, stay home. We have allowed the enemy to create a spirit of fear in the children of God. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. So why are we in fear? We need to recognize exactly what this is. This is a spirit of fear in our world. That we believe that we're in control. But as children of God, we should know better. We should not act like the rest of the world when chaos is taking over the world. When the spirit of fear has blinded everybody. We should recognize how children of the highest should act. We should recognize God's got this. And this should create a peace inside you while everything around you is falling apart. Because His love. We do not have to take matters in our own hands. We can place it at the cross of Jesus. Now I'm not saying to use common sense. Yes. But we got to place the storm or storms in life in God's hands. And when we do this, God creates a peace within the midst of the storm. Now, I'm not telling you not to go get toilet paper. I'm saying we need to put God at the center of everything we do. When we walk into that store with objective. Oh, I need toilet paper. It's going to be a shortage. I need it now. I don't care who I have to run over. You're acting just like that world. If that don't grieve your heart, there's something serious wrong with you. We need to recognize Jesus will not leave us hopeless. You have the disciples here. They're feeling abandoned. They're full of fear. The spirit of fear, right? And we could say they were feeling hopeless too. If you look at the last few scriptures of Mark 38 to 39, it says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Master, cure thy that we perish. And he rose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, Why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith?" Jesus tells them, not my words, guys. You can get mad at me as much as you want. This is Jesus' words. Why you have no faith? What do you think Jesus would say right now to his people? Why have you no faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Timothy 1:1 tells us Jesus is our hope. Hebrews 6:19, Paul tells us He is the anchor of our soul. You see, Jesus, see, the disciples lost that sight during the storm. They lost their hope, which was right there sleeping in the boat. And if they would have placed their hope in Jesus, their faith would shine so brightly. Things would have happened differently. But Jesus had to rebuke the wind. And he had to rebuke them. And I'm pretty sure he's rebuking his people right now. Not my opinion. Just what I see through the scriptures. There was a man. And many of you guys probably read of this guy. He had a son, and the man was told to take his son up to a mountain and to sacrifice him to the Lord. So he gathered all the stuff, you know, for the altar, and he placed it on his donkey, and he started this journey to the mountain. He got to this mountain, and got the altar ready, and he laid the child on the altar and raised the knife up to sacrifice his son. See, his faith did not waver one bit. His hope and the promise that God made to him that his son would provide generation after generation of people from his lineage. Before he complete the sacrifice, the angel of the Lord stops him and told him to stop and then provided a ram for the sacrifice. You see, this is Abraham. His son was Isaac. Faith. Unwavering faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope is rooted. And the hope is Jesus. Without faith, it is impossible to please Jesus. As the disciples were in the storm, hopeless. As we may be when we're driving our car in the storm, and the wind's hitting it hard, and we let that hopelessness creep into our mind. Don't let the enemy make you feel hopeless, because he will. Place your hope in Jesus within the storm. Lay it out there through faith, based on the promises that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And that he loves you. See, we have the Holy Spirit living inside each and every one of us, his children. And because we have that, we have a hope inside. Where our flesh can get in the way. We can allow Satan to block that. But I want to just bring it to your attention today. With all this crisis. Well, I'm leaving here, want to leave this message today with you is I do not know what you're going through today or last week or what you're going through this week or the next week, but Jesus does. If you are his, you should know you are not abandoned. You have not been given the spirit of fear and you are not hopeless. As disciples were in the boat in a storm, the outward, inward storm that was brewing. And Jesus was right there. And I hope you guys get a good picture of that, of the boat in a storm or when you're in the vehicle driving. But you must recognize Jesus is right there. As you look at that physical storm that will allow you to create inside you these emotions like depression, anxiety, and stress and wherever you're going through. Jesus understands and he cares more than you can imagine. You just got to give it to him. Let go of it. You are not in control of anything. You see, Satan wants to fill you with all these lies that you are alone and no one cares for you and that you are not loved. And he wants the spirit of fear to shake you to your knees and steal your peace and your joy. Satan tells you hey, you have no hope in this life. Why don't you end your life? You see, the devil is lying. He's the father of all lies. And when he tells you something negative, do not entertain him. Do not go into conversation with this filthy enemy. But go to Jesus that is right there living inside of you, me, us. And give that storm or storms to him because he already has it. He is the master of the storm. He will provide the strength that you need to endure these storms in life. Give it to Jesus with faith in your heart and soul. And he will calm the storm. And he will flood you with his peace through your whole being. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we just come to you, just thanking for this message and whatever or whoever needs to hear it out there, Lord. I thank you for giving me the words to speak. Thank you for just guiding and directing this sermon. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it reaches whoever needs to hear it. It lifts their heart and it strengthens them wherever they're going through. Lord, to realize whatever we're going through in this life, man, it will get worse before it ever gets better. And that is the coming, your coming, Lord. That wherever we're going through, we're not abandoned. You will not abandon your children. You will not create a spirit of fear in our life. And you will not leave us hopeless. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just, the coming week, Lord, the rest of this week, Lord, you be with whoever you need to be with through this. And God, and direct them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that church are going to, that they're still having services and they haven't shut down their churches because of this. I may be attacked about it, and that's all right. As the days of Noah, so will it be as the coming of you, Lord. People will ridicule true men of God, and they will hate them for preaching the gospel as they did Noah. But I will not have blood on my hands, as Noah did not have no blood on his hand when he preached righteousness all those years and nobody wanted to hear it. Lord, I pray, Lord, if it's just one person out there that hears this, that's all that matters. Just one person. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope you guys have, love you guys. Hope you guys have a good weekend. Or good week and good weekend. And I'll try Saturday to go into the last part of the Lord's Prayer. And we'll wrap that up and see where the Lord will guide and direct us on the next sermon after that. Alrighty.